Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN baseball analyst. So what do you make of this, Steve? Manny Machado to the Padres, 10 years, $300 million with an opt-out after 5 years. That sounds like a pretty big win for the Players Association.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And you know, I think I'm hoping that what it will do is quiet down all of this negative chatter about some problem with the collective bargaining agreement, because you've got a small market team that's not ready to compete, that's one of the rebuilding teams that spent $30 million a year on a player, and it's hardly going to move the needle this year. I mean, they were 66 and 96 last year. Maybe they get to 75 wins this year, maybe. And so the reality is they spent $30 million this year, and they're still going to be a last-place team. But they look at it saying, we're rebuilding. We're going to be good in the next few years with our young players. It's not often you get a shot at a superstar player, and you don't always get the perfect timing. They can wait a couple years to when they're closer to winning, but then players might say no to them at that point, and they're going to be left holding the bag. So they got out in front of it a little bit. For Machado, I think that it's a good save for Dan Lozano. We kept hearing $175 million for him. Nobody more giving him more than $25 million a year. He pulled out $30 million a year for 10 years and actually turned down an offer, from what we understand, with a higher AAV of over $30 million for 8 years, $250 million from the White Sox, with a chance to make close to $350 million if he vested options and such. They took the guarantee, though, on the back end of the deal, and I think a pretty significant deal. And an opt-out after 5 years, where he can be a free agent again. I think the structure of the deal matters. If they front-load the money, and then he can opt out after 5 years, he might end up with a more significant payday if he can get another five-year deal on the back end. So we'll see where it goes. But I think a win for the Padres, and certainly a win for Machado and Lozano.
Were the Padres a team that you kind of heard were sniffing around, or this completely out of the blue? How surprised were you at this?
Oh, shocked by this. I mean, because, look, if I were the Padres, I wouldn't have signed him for that. I wouldn't even bet a player in that, because I think they're at least 3 years away from winning. They've got Fernando Tatis Jr. coming, a young shortstop who's going to be a superstar. He's their Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's that level. He's a real impact player. He's going to be a shortstop. Machado will play third base. But, I mean, Eric Hosmer was a bad sign, 2 years ago. He's not the kind of player that they thought, or last year it was, not the kind of player that they thought. He's got like $126 million left on his deal. Will Myers is overpaid. They're going to have to hope their prospect pitchers come along, because they can't afford to get out and buy pitching in the free agent market. So, look, it's a risk on their part, but one they thought to take. I just don't see them as a real player. And what I don't understand is, if you're going to spend $300 million, how do you not know it in November? Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't players on this at all until, into December and early January, and all of a sudden they end up with a meeting with Machado. Like, how did you not know you had $300 million available to spend, and that you wanted to spend it on one of these guys? Why were you in at the last minute? But it doesn't matter. They end up getting the deal done.
How does this affect Bryce Harper? Team, dollars, term? Does this kind of speed things up for him, or what?
Well, there was all this chatter that Harper had two teams over $325 million in their offers to him, and that there was traction going. Everybody thought the Phillies were going to be that team. Now, the Phillies say that the value for Machado got beyond what they thought was appropriate, which is interesting. For a team that said they were going to spend stupid money, they didn't get stupid. They had a limit. Now, all along, we kept hearing that their preference was Machado over Harper. And if that's the case, can they give Harper more than what they were willing to offer Machado, which wasn't 3 years, $300 million? The White Sox, we know, drew a line in the sand that they weren't willing to go beyond the $250 million guaranteed on an eight-year deal. They seem unwilling to do that for Harper as well. So I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that the music's coming to an end, and there's two people that don't have dance partners, and it's the Phillies and Bryce Harper. But I don't know where that deal ends up going. How does it get beyond $300 million if there's no competition beyond the White Sox for the Phillies to get the deal done? So my guess is that Boris will pull a rabbit out of his hat. He'll end up with more than $300 million for a 10-plus year deal.
Well, my read on the situation, Steve, was from a Padres perspective, Machado probably had no interest in going there in November, but then word started to leak over the weekend. He was simply in it for the money. Whoever's willing to pay me the top dollar, that's where I'm going. And I think the Padres said, okay, we're willing to do that. we'll give you the money, so we actually feel like we can get you. It wouldn't be surprising at all to me if they were shocked in San Diego that they actually landed this guy.
Weren't people in Chicago shocked too, Steve? Because they...
The White Sox are in the same spot as the Padres. They've been rebuilding and blowing it up for. They won 62 games last year. They're brutal too.
Yeah, they're both in the same place, right? Both rebuilding with some top prospects coming. Eloy Jimenez is a stud for the White Sox that we're going to see this year. He's their Fernando Tatis and their Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're real stars, these young guys. But you know, they were, the one thing that was clear is they weren't willing to go to the 10-year deal, the White Sox, and that kind of came out early. And it seemed to me that they weren't going to get any of these guys because if you want a player to go to Chicago, to the second team in Chicago, and you're a team that's going to have to suffer for the next 3 years until you figure out how to win, then you're going to have to pay a premium to get the star to go there. You're not going to get them for the same deal offered by anybody else. And so that's where the Padres went. They went to separate themselves from where the Phillies were and from where the White Sox were. And it seems to me that you know, if they want Harper, they're going to have to do the same thing, and it doesn't seem like the White Sox are willing to do it. So I think that the White Sox are going to get left holding the bag with nobody this offseason.
With Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. So the past couple of days in Toronto, I'm sure you're aware of this, it's been all about dissecting the comments from Marcus Stroman on Sunday. And Kevin Pillar was in front of the cameras and the microphones today down in Dunedin. And he was asked basically to respond to Stroman, and specifically the idea that there aren't enough veterans and that the clubhouse could use some help. And this is what Pillar said earlier this morning.
You know, fortunately, I've been here for a long time, and I've been around some pretty good leaders, and I've seen the way they went about leading, whether it was by their actions, by their words. I've been able to process over this offseason how I want to go about it, things that I've witnessed, things that I've really thought was a good way of going about it, things I saw that I didn't really like from some of the veterans. And ultimately, this is something that I've wanted for a long time. You know, I just kind of, you know, bit my tongue and went out and tried to lead by example, knowing that there was guys that were ahead of me in the pecking order, and just tried to learn from them. And, you know, when I was asked to speak, I spoke up, but for the most part, I just stayed in my lane.
So my read on that, Steve, is Kevin Pillar is saying, I disagree with Stroman. There is enough leadership in the clubhouse right now, myself included. It should include him, Sanchez, and other veterans that are here. I don't want to hear about what Stroman's complaining about. And furthermore, on top of that, he's saying those vets that you love so much, Stroman, I didn't really love them. I didn't think they were that great as vets. What do you make of that comment?
Yeah, I kind of heard the same thing, that he wants to be a leader. He's given it some thought. And what we do from those that come before us is we learn what we like about what they did, and we learned how not to do it, right? We learned, you know, that's what we all do, is that everybody has a different style. You figure out, you take a little bit of what you like from everybody that impacted you in some way. If things that you think people tried to do that you weren't in favor of, then you eliminate those. But I think he recognizes that there was some people and players and leadership roles that didn't quite do it the way that certainly didn't impact him. So I heard it that way too. And the other thing is, with a rebuilding organization, there's a part of when you run that team and you're a general manager of that team and a manager of that team, you want to instill the Blue Jays way of doing things. And you hope that started in the minor leagues, that you don't necessarily need a veteran to tell you how to do it, because you've learned the way that you're expected to do it. You've learned the expectations, you've learned the consequences, and you're accountable to that. And you hope that there's that feeder system where your players come up there, and it's nice to have leaders to help you deal with the emotions of struggling at the major league level. But when it comes to being a professional, you hope that's already instilled. You don't need veterans to do it. And what happens is, we saw the Astros add veteran leaders a couple years ago when they added Carlos Beltran and Brian McCann. They did it on the brink of winning. They didn't do it when they were all, you know, figuring out, getting their head kicked in a little bit at the major league level. They waited a bit. So, you know, Marcus Stroman, you know, he's coming off of a 5.54 ERA. And it's hard to be a leader when you're not performing well. It's really hard to be the leader when you've struggled yourself, right? And it's hard to call out the organization for doing everything they can to win when your results weren't very good. And I think that's kind of where Stroman finds himself. Yet I appreciate his desire to sort of lead by example with the young players, but I wish he'd lead by example and not say it. Right? He doesn't have to do it by talking. He needs to do it by action, by performance, by getting the job done, by his preparation, by his work ethic, all of that, which he can do. But the talking part of it creates an us against them, which is counter to the direction of where this organization wants to go.
Always appreciate it, Steve. We'll do it again early next week. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays and MLB analyst.